What is it like to be a woman in growth? Hello and welcome to Growth Masterminds. This is a very special episode of Growth Masterminds. We are doing an all-women panel. Actually, this is from a LinkedIn Live that we did just recently, and we had five amazing women. We asked them, what's it like to be a woman in growth? How did you get into growth? What would you like to tell women in growth? What is your favorite experience? What's been some of your worst experiences? And we got some amazing, amazing answers. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is our Women in Growth LinkedIn Live. Super pumped, super happy to be doing this. Thank you for joining us, whether you're joining us live or maybe you're in Europe or you're in Asia and you're seeing it tomorrow or the next day. Maybe you're seeing it on the Growth Masterminds podcast a week from now or a month from now. Thank you for joining us. As you're probably aware, March 8th was International Women's Day, and March as a whole is Women's History Month. We do a ton of webinars, podcasts at Singular. We're not always great at including all the women we'd love to. I've always wanted a 100% female panel. It's been challenging to achieve it, but today we're going to do it for Women's History Month, and I'm super pumped. It's funny because one of the participants is Susan Kuhl. She is a COO of Singular, and she just led a full company meeting at Singular in honor of International Women's Day and Women's History Month. And I learned that 43% of Singular is women. Only 27% in tech in general, and in GAFM, it's only 31%. So that's a good thing, and we have a C-level exec at Singular, so super happy about that. We're trying to celebrate women in growth today. We have some great women. We have Adrienne, who's Performance Media Director at MNC Saatchi Performance. We have Matina, who's the VP of Data Science at DataSeat. We have Tamanda, who is the Senior Global Performance Marketing Manager at WFP. We have Saadi, who's the VP of Marketing at Singular, and we have Susan, who's the COO at Singular. Welcome all. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go through a bunch of stuff. We're going to ask these women leaders how they got into growth, what their path was. We're going to ask them what their biggest career triumph was, the toughest challenges they had to overcome. We're going to ask them something that they'd like women in the industry to hear more, and something that they would tell women who are considering joining the space. We're going to start with Adrienne, and we're going to start with the first question. Adrienne, how did you get into growth? What was your path?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. I just want to first say I'm really excited to actually hear everyone else's answers because everyone here is so accomplished, and I'm sure they have very interesting stories. So looking forward to that. But how did I get into growth? I have been in media for my whole career. I started out working at an ad agency in San Francisco. On B2B brand awareness. Then I moved into direct response, working with nonprofits, trying to drive monthly or one-time donations. And then I went back into brand awareness for large, you know, CPG or network television accounts. And then I moved to Los Angeles and started working at MNC Saatchi Performance, which used to be called MNC Saatchi Mobile. So I kind of stumbled into growth. I didn't quite know what I was getting into when I joined this agency, but it's been such an interesting experience. I think mobile in particular is very different from the rest of the media or advertising industry. So lots of new technology to learn, new industry players. That is my path.
Some of the most amazing people with the most amazing careers say they sort of stumbled into it and their path isn't direct, isn't one way. That's awesome to hear. Matina, same question. How did you get into growth?
First of all, thank you for having me. Honored to be in this panel. And my story starts from a technical background. My bachelor and master are in computer science. And then I did a PhD in machine learning for online advertising auctions. And it was back in the days of Google and Facebook introducing ads in their auctioneering system. So it was a hot trend, very hot topic. I continued with roles close to data science and marketing analytics, marketing science in companies such as Microsoft, Accenture, IBM. Then I moved to Facebook, which was a great school. I belonged in the team of adoption for the mobile gaming vertical. And there we could we were exposed in a vast amount of data, amazing signals and algorithms. And now I'm very, very privileged and happy to be working alongside a great team in Dataseat, which is now part of Verb Group. And basically what we are doing is that we are leveraging the power of contextual signals to optimize performance in the ad auction in quite, I would say, privacy-driven, privacy-focused ways. So always, always close to understanding signals. It's been my passion, and I'm very happy that I continue with this path.
Amazing. That's the first time I've heard Facebook referred to as a school, but I totally get it. It makes a ton of sense. Absolutely. Amanda, tell your story. How did you get into growth?
Thanks, John. And thank you for having me as well. My story is, I guess, a natural progression. My background is in marketing. I started off from the agency side, online marketing, as it was called at that time. And within the agency was a natural progression, starting performance. And from there, I worked in South Africa. And then I moved on to value-added services, working in Mexico and now in Spain. It's been like a natural progression. Within the growth space, mobile has been at the forefront of my career for the past 10 years or so. So yeah, very exciting. Also B2C, direct to consumers, but also a bit of B2B.
Super interesting, and super interesting to hear your international background as well, because we have quite an international panel, right? Saadi, who's going to tell her story next, she's in Washington, D.C. You're in Athens. Adrienne is in L.A. I'm in Vancouver. Susan is in the Bay Area. And Matina is in Athens, Greece. So we're kind of from a lot of different places. Saadi, tell your story. How did you get into growth? Did you stumble into it? Did you choose it?
Yeah, thanks for having me here. I definitely stumbled into it, like going back a little further to my education. Totally thought it was funny. We were on a woman's panel and someone else said something similarly. I totally thought I was going to be an architect, but I really soon, after 6 months of taking architect classes in college, realized that I was not good at it and I was struggling. And I think I realized I liked the idea of becoming an architect more than suited my strengths. I randomly took like a marketing elective because I thought it would be easy, and it was easy, but not from the perspective that I thought it was going to be. The curriculum was difficult, but it was naturally something that I really liked. So after I graduated, with my international management degree, I went into B2C. So I worked for an online travel agency doing online marketing, all sorts of things like email, social, paid campaigns. And then after working there for a couple of years, just talking to a colleague who was more senior than me, who also happened to be a woman, told her I really loved San Francisco and always wanted to go work in Silicon Valley. And it was my dream. About 6 months later, she got a dream opportunity to work in San Francisco and the San Francisco area in Silicon Valley. And about 6 months after that, she said, "Hey, you know, I know this is B2B and this is a product marketing role," which was pretty different. It's a lot more technical kind of working with product teams, but there's this opportunity and I was able to get you an interview. Do you want to take it? So thanks to that kind of connection that I had. And I think from showing her how driven I was working, you know, underneath her, I got that opportunity to move from Boston at the time to San Francisco and work as a product marketer for the first time in B2B SaaS. Fun fact, that same connection had moved on to work for Singular. And after a year or so of being at Singular, she said, "Hey, why don't you come here and start a product marketing team?" And here I am 7 years later. So six years later at Singular. So yeah, that was my...
Wow. Super interesting. It's funny how those mentors can lead us in different areas in our careers. That's awesome. Susan, I want to turn to you, ask you the same question. I'm super interested to hear the answer because you are a serial entrepreneur. You started multiple companies, you got exits, all that stuff. Tell us your story.
Yeah. So I would say I stumbled into growth. I'm not going to take you all the way back to my fiber optics days because that might actually put some people to sleep. But I'd say kind of venture into growth. I spent my early part of the career mostly in ad sales and gaming. And I joined EA back in 2005. And this is right after they had just acquired Pogo, which is their online casual games portal. It was through this role that I had the opportunity to work on some of the first in-games ad sales sponsorship packages, you know, in the likes of Madden and FIFA and Sims. I don't know if you guys ever play these games, but if you guys see a Coca-Cola sponsorship in there, Doritos and such, it was actually a lot of them were, you know, opportunities, ad units and packages that I personally had worked on. Probably one of the coolest jobs I ever had. And it's really what kickstarted my career, not only in ad sales, but in gaming. From there on, I went on to join and lead several sales organizations at a few gaming and entertainment companies, selling primarily into Fortune 500s and agencies. But fast forward a few years is actually when I made the pivot from brand to performance, aka growth marketing. And this was actually a little bit before my previous company of Singular, but I would say Onavo is really where I grew to love growth marketing. This is actually also where I met my two co-founders of Singular. And honestly, where the idea of Singular was born, because it was at Onavo where we were working with all the largest growth marketing organizations, with the likes of Uber, EA, Supercell, and really working with them at solving kind of complex marketing data intelligence. But it was through that we actually uncovered that there was a really big gap in growth marketing orgs today in terms of not having their very, very dispersed marketing data sets that lived across various vendors and solutions that they use, from their ad networks, their DSPs, agencies, what have you, and not having a centralized source of truth to measure their marketing performance. And so that was really where the idea of Singular began. And, here, fast forward 20 plus years into my career and now 10 plus years at Singular, this is a bit of the glance of the growth marketing journey.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. And I remember the first time I met you, I was writing for VentureBeat at the time. We met down at the old Ferry Building, if I'm not mistaken, in San Francisco, right on the water there. And you told me about this company called Singular, which I didn't join for another 3-4 years after that. But that super interesting. Okay, now I'm really excited about this question. And this question is always interesting for anybody to think about. What is your biggest career triumph, right? So hard to figure that out. Sometimes there's something that might stand totally out. Sometimes there's 10, 15 things. Sometimes you have to really struggle and figure it out. Susan, we're going to come to you first. What is your biggest career triumph?
Yeah, I have to say that was dovetailing really right off my last question. It was becoming a founder and building something from the ground up. You know, you hear about stories from other founders, but it doesn't really become real until you become one yourself and understands all the facets of kind of responsibilities and triumphs that you make, failures that you make along the road. Successes everywhere from, you know, making your first hires at the company, signing your first customers, going to Sandhill Road to raise your first round of funding. that's a separate panel all to itself. But from getting your first offices, making your first acquisition, expanding to your first international markets. I'd say all of these kind of aggregated into one is just such a huge learning experience. And, you know, I think now taking a step back, zooming out 10 years, one of the things, or two of the things I'm most proud of, because earlier today I was saying how proud of I am about the team that we've built. But from the other aspect of things is, as a founder, when you look at taking an idea from concept, from its infancies, and really building it into the solution, the prototype. I can't take credit for that. That's all Gaudi and Ron's work. But seeing this concept, making it come to life, and seeing this used as a solution used by some of the largest marketing organizations in the world, and them relying day to day to make critical marketing investment decisions based on this. I mean, that is honestly something. So I would say that that's, you know, kind of one of the career milestones and triumphs that I'm proud of.
That is definitely something. And another something is actually doing two startups with the same core team. It kind of speaks to, hey, these people actually like each other. Maybe they even get along. They work well together. Doesn't happen all the time. Saudi, we're going to turn to you. Same question. What was your biggest career? What is your biggest career triumph?
Yeah, I think that it's two things really, but I'll truncate them. One was just moving from B to C to becoming a product marketer, from going from actually being kind of a user acquisition person to going into a more technical role of product marketing, where I hadn't had any like training on it, or I hadn't studied much about it. And I even remember my manager at that company, the B2C company, when I told her that this is what I was doing, told me, you're not going to be good at that at all. You're going to. And I was like, okay. I took that and I used it as fuel. And I was like, I'm not going to fail. I'm going to kill it. And then from there, I think the feeling of I did do well, I did succeed, I did kill it, was when I went from a one woman product marketing team at Singular, where it was, you know, just kind of trying to even define what that means to do product marketing and to be connective tissue between all of these different types of teams, to now, you know, managing a team of seven and being a VP of marketing, where I'm looking at a wider scope of marketing functions and making them all kind of speak to one another. And I've been able to hand off product marketing leadership to someone awesome, Laura Dole, who works on my team, seeing them thrive. I studied international management. It took me a while to become a manager and, you know, definitely had some naysayers along the way, but I'm really happy that I've made it and I have a good team and that my team's growing. So I can, you know, kind of tie that back and say, wow, okay, I'm successful. My team's successful. This is great.
I absolutely love that. And I love that there's been a path and a progression. I'm always a little suspicious. I see on LinkedIn somebody like their second role, they're like 21 manager, team lead or something like that. I'm like, okay, Nepo baby. I don't know. You know, it takes some time. You're not as smart as you're going to get. You need to learn more. All of us, we have huge gaps in what we do, all that stuff. So it's great to take some time and to have the patience to take that time. Super excited. Amanda, tell us your story. What is your biggest career triumph?
Yeah, it's very exciting to hear all these stories. And you can like pick a little bit of something from each one of you. So it's amazing. I wouldn't say one particular triumph. I would just say thriving within the space. And especially from my experience, just moving from like different regions, different countries, being able to work people, different languages, language barriers, being able to collaborate and actually produce good results within that growth space. I would say that's been the biggest triumph. It's not always easy, especially in the growth phase, working with different teams, creatives, tech. I think within the different environments I've worked in, just being able to thrive has been absolutely amazing. And also, even when it's like, you know, something challenging, I think it's always good to learn something and to actually use it in your next move, your next strategy. So, yeah.
Awesome. Wonderful. Matina, what was your biggest career triumph?
Talking about the challenges. And so as a data scientist, for us, it's always about research and innovation. So imagine we might be researching back from the academia, lots of different algorithms trying to solve very difficult problems that you're moving into the industry. You're trying to meet the needs of the innovation as well, the client needs. And then when I joined DataSeed, it was at the same time where we had this introduction of the STAN stuff, of trying to innovate within that space. So as you can imagine, it was a very challenging time to find proper machine learning algorithms, the proper statistical technique. But I'm very, very happy, very proud of, not as a personal only achievement, but as a team achievement, the data science achievement, the cross-functional partner group, let's say, achievement, that we managed to go from the research to the innovation piece. And we managed to find a groundbreaking algorithm for optimizing scan campaigns, which right now it's very, very tough if you see it from a signals, let's say, perspective. So basically, it's always about things that we can achieve with not only the best technical algorithms, but the right mindset.
I absolutely love that answer. And, you know, there's two things that stuck out for me in what you said. One, you have been in charge of data science at DataSeed in the toughest time ever for growth marketing. This massive change from, hey, I can see almost everything, all these touches, all these, you know, this ad was viewed, it wasn't clicked. I see these clicks. I see lots of post-install activity to, no, gone. So really challenging, really challenging. The other thing that really struck me is that as you grow in your career and you become a leader, it's not just about what you have done individually. It's leading and guiding and inspiring that team to do these things. And that becomes one of your core triumphs. That's really, really amazing. Let's shift over to Adrienne. What is your biggest career triumph?
So mine is very similar to Amanda's. I would say that it's being able to be very adaptable and pivot in my career throughout the years, going from like brand awareness media more to growth, very performance and data driven. One experience that I had kind of earlier in my career is that I moved from San Francisco to Sydney, Australia. So I wanted to live in a new country, experience something completely different, do a lot of travel. So I decided to just pack my bags and move to Australia. I didn't know anyone there. I had nothing lined up, but I was able to kind of figure it out quite quickly. Like I got a job in my industry and media there. I found an apartment, made friends, and I was able to work there for a couple of years, which was really cool. Learn an entirely new market. Australians are similar to Americans, but a little bit different. So that was an interesting experience. So luckily, this industry is very global and you can kind of go to any big city around the world and do it. So that was a great triumph for me.
I love that. I mean, there's so much change in this space right now that if you can't pivot, that is a real, real challenge. I have never flown to a different country intending to stay for a couple of years and just figuring out on the fly. Big kudos to you. Quite amazing. We're going to stay with you for the next question. And the next question might actually be related to that move. I don't know. Maybe it's something different. What is the toughest challenge you've had to overcome in your career?
Yeah, I'll pick a different example. But when I graduated from college, I was in the Bay Area and I got a job at a really small ad agency in San Francisco. And it was very difficult to find a job at that time. You know, I was really happy that I got that. Worked there for a little under a year. And then I did get laid off from that position. So that was very devastating for me because I was like, oh, my God, I'm never going to work again. How am I going to pay my rent in the city? And just the unknown was very stressful. So, however, I did, you know, start interviewing. I got another job that was actually a lot better than the one that I was working at before. And it really put me down this path of like media and performance. So I know a lot of people have been going through layoffs recently. It's, you know, kind of happening everywhere in our industry. And I have experienced that as well. I know it can be really hard and really stressful, but it is an opportunity to try something different and you might end up in an even better position than you were before.
That is such a great thing to have brought up, and I thank you for it. I will say from personal experience as well, the time when I had a massive career transition because a company that I worked for, that I was in leadership of, got bought and basically put out, killed, if I could say it that way, because it was a competitor to the company that bought us. And I was 4 months finding the next thing, and that is the hardest point of your career, but it can also be the biggest leverage point to change. Bettina, we're going to turn to you. What has been the toughest challenge you've had to overcome in your career?
So it's something that remains as a challenge. To be honest, there is no one single solution to that. It has to do with the actual role, with the data science role, with the marketing analytics, exploration role. And it's just that people think that machine learning and AI, it's about 80% the modeling, the algorithms, and just 20% that the business understanding, the data understanding, where actually it's the opposite. We have seen in many, many programs, many products, that basically 70% of the time is about the conversations with other teams beyond the data science team. Product managers, marketing managers, customer success, sales, who bring the experience and they can help you out understand patterns that as a data scientist, you couldn't easily infer. So the way that this has been evolved over the years, especially right now in DataSeed, we are using it heavily, is trying to have this brainstorming of different teams, different cross-functional, let's say, groups, where they can help you out understand something that might not make sense. If you just, you know, look at the marketing data set and from a data science perspective, you might say, okay, this is a weird outlier. This is a way I cannot understand where, in fact, maybe there is another person from another team give you a very simplistic explanation of why that is happening, and that might actually solve your problem. So it's ongoing. I don't have very specific answers. My only answer is that I'm getting by the help of our friends in other teams as well.
The key takeaway I've got there is there's room for the human in the machine. That is wonderful news. That is really, really wonderful news. Amazing. I see a comment here from Kelsey as well. Wouldn't think of data science as a highly cross-functional org. Yeah, hey, absolutely. Amazing. Very cool. Okay, now we're going to turn to Tamanda for the same question. What has been your toughest challenge that you've had to overcome?
It's really a tough one to answer. But I think earlier on in my career, moving into like the leadership space was very tough. Especially I think when you actually move within the company itself, I was managing a team of people that I've worked with for quite a while, which were also friends. So that transition was very difficult. Learning to trust myself, learning to be more confident in myself and actually being more assertive. I grew up, you know, trying to please everyone, be the nice girl. So breaking away from that and actually, you know, getting the work done and being more assertive, managing people, not just leading people, being aware also of just, you know, like different needs of different kind of like team members. So that was really, really tough for me in the beginning as a leader.
Wow. Super interesting and great insight. It's such a change from being an individual contributor to being a leader and a manager and an executive. And that's interesting. That's a transition that Saadi has made as well. And Saadi has described herself to me as a people pleaser. So it's probably been a similar challenge. Saadi, what's the toughest challenge you've had to overcome?
I completely agree with Samantha. I, based on like my family culture and my national culture, my background, like a lot of the women that I saw around me were people pleasers, and I'm a long suffering and now recovering people pleaser myself. And to just not ruffle feathers and to not be confrontational and to not take up too much space was seen as like a good quality to have. And I had to really break through that conditioning to be successful in my career. And particularly, I think I agree with like when moving to management is where that really was a struggle for me. So learning how to trust myself and understand my worth, my value, and speaking up because I knew what I was talking about and I had good ideas and good instincts and I was talented. Like I struggled with that myself. It wasn't necessarily anyone at my job or, you know, that I worked with who gave me these perceptions. They were really self-inflicted perceptions that I had to really kind of get over. And what I've really found through coaching, both from mentors, men and women mentors, is to kind of insert myself into conversations, into projects, and also make space for others to be able to, you know, advocate for them to be able to insert themselves as well, where they can shine and provide value to the organization. And I think as a product marketer, you work with stakeholders from, like I said, like the technical side, like product and R&D, and then you work with sales, customer success, and then you obviously, lastly, and most importantly, work with your target market. And you kind of are connective tissue between all of them. So it means having to communicate effectively and kind of also wrangle really opinionated, talented people from very different backgrounds, and finding my voice and finding confidence. And like, I know what I'm talking about, like, excuse my French, but I know my shit, just lean in. As long as I'm doing it confidently and respectfully, like, it'll work out for everyone's benefit. And it has. So yeah, completely agree there.
I love that. I mean, sometimes it truly is a case that we have met the enemy and the enemy is us, right? And overcoming that is great. But also the great thing is that if you have been a people pleaser, there's some good parts of that. But one of the good parts is that as you learn to find your voice, as you have, and then you make sure that, hey, others who haven't reached that level yet, you call on them and get them involved, get them engaged. That's really, really wonderful. Susan, your turn. Toughest challenge you've had to overcome.
And when Matina was talking about SCAN and all the different privacy changes, that struck a real chord, because I'm like, why didn't I think about that? That upheaval really created some major emotions for the industry to think about over the last couple of years. But yeah, trying to zoom out here, I'm going to kind of take it back to more of you know, kind of the journey as kind of a lot of us look at when it's kind of thinking about the personal and professional life balances, right? So I think if I really had to look at the tough challenge that I had to overcome, it was really becoming a founder and a first-time mother pretty much at the same time, like within the same year, to be quite frank. It wasn't planned on this way. You know, life always has a fun way of throwing things and fun twists in a timely manner. You know, people commonly refer to startups and founders as their babies, right? And the analogy is actually pretty accurate if you think about it. You know, it's something both a startup and a baby is something that you give your full dedication to. It is something that is fully dependent on you and your co-founders, hence, or also your spouses, and in the other analogies, especially in the early days, right? To grow, to succeed. And it is something that will completely exhaust you, again, in early days. Many sleepless nights, making sure that your baby's growth and success is on track. So all of that is very true. And, you know, overcoming that, honestly, is been one of the, you know, the most challenging things. And in terms of kind of the journey of overcoming it, I mean, it was a realization at a certain point when I recall when, I think this is when my first one was about a year and a half years old. And I really thought, hey, I can do it. I can do it all. I could be on the road. I can be an amazing mother. But it got to a point where, you know, I found myself that I was on the road 50% of the time, lots of this being kind of international based travel with a baby and the household's first time mother. And, you know, there was a point where I just kind of like took a step back here and had to come to the personal realization that, you know, adjustments needed to be made. You know, I couldn't continue doing this much longer. The candle was burning at both ends. And it was the moment where I really realized that, you know, I had to be honest with my co-founders and telling them that, you know, I needed additional help. And this ultimately resulted to us thinking about, you know, this would also be the right time for us to think about bringing in additional leadership to our go-to-marketing organization. But this meant that I actually had to let go of things that I was so used to owning and leading for several years.
And there were definitely days where this was a challenging adjustment, right? Something that you're used to managing and understanding very well, and letting go of things is something that I think that we all kind of have to learn, that with adjustments and with changes, these are also kind of like the flip side of things that we have to look at. But looking back at it, at this all, like several years later, I think this was one of the best decisions that I had, that I made. Not only did this allow for me to have the right work-life balance and to succeed as a mother, well, that's kind of debatable some days, because, you know, you all know that we have kids who tell us that they hate us some days, but it allowed me to at least think that I'm succeeding half the time as a mother, and also allowed for me to be able to contribute to my company in ways that I didn't originally think that was possible, right? And out of my comfort zone. And it also gave us the ability to bring in leadership with a diverse and extensive range of experiences that, you know, we didn't have before, and allowed us to accelerate our growth to where we are today. So I would say, toughest challenge, lots of learnings along the way, but so glad I did it.
That's so amazing. I'm trying to think of that conversation with your husband. Hey, honey, we're expecting. And by the way, also, I'm leaving my job and I'm joining a startup. It's
You're
not a sure thing. Okay, both of those in the same year, pretty challenging. Yeah. But that is also a great learning, that sometimes we have to let go of stuff to move on to the next thing, and it's better. But that's a hard process as well. Susan, we're going to stick with you for the next question. And the next two questions are both about things that you'd like women in the space to know. This first one is, one thing you'd like women in the industry to hear more. What would you like women in the industry to hear more, Susan?
I think I heard a couple of themes about this today, but, you know, if there's one thing that I really appreciate over the years as a leader, it's, you know, I really encourage women to stand up for themselves, right? Don't be afraid to ask for what you want. Don't be afraid to say that you want to try something new. I will say that as a leader, I really love seeing courage, authenticity, and really proactiveness from team members who approach me or approach their peers about things that they want to try out, right? And letting us also know why it is that they would be good at it. The fact that they did it already registers something in me. And I think for most of our leaders to say, you know what, even though this person didn't have the ideal background, we would have never thought about it, I do remember this conversation. And the fact that they made themselves visible around that is something that I really admire. And we have just seen so many instances of this within Singular, and also kind of in previous companies where I had, taken note of this quality, that we have been able to really help women, and not only women, but in general, across the board, carve out very significant career development paths, right? I mean, Saudi on the panel today is a great example of that, but we have several other folks on our team who has been able to make very, very impressive moves in their career by just saying and expressing why it is that they would be good at something.
So important. You shared earlier on that call that we talked about already that there are 7 or 8 departments in Singular that are led by women. So important to make yourself visible. If you're invisible, it's very easy to not think about you, and the executives are thinking, leadership is thinking, who are we going to put in that role? Who are we going to groom for that role? It's so easy also when times are tough, well, never hear from that person, easy to drop them off the team. So important to be visible. Saudi, same question. What do women in the industry need to hear more?
It's actually, I didn't know Susan's answers before this one. So it's initially, I wrote advocate for yourself. So it's basically the same thing, and I don't need to go into it too much, but essentially, I think you make a really good point here, John, where I was talking to my cousin about this, who works for the government, completely different field, and she was saying, well, how is your manager supposed to know that, you know, you want to switch career paths or you want to grow
to become a manager from an individual contributor? How is your manager supposed to just mind read that? Like, you need to speak up, advocate, you know, and also think about it from like a business case, like make a business case for yourself. Like, not only do I want to do this and I'm going to be motivated and you're going to get to keep my talented self for longer, but I think it's going to be really good for the team because X, Y, Z in the organization. And yeah, you just have to kind of speak up, advocate for yourself. And listen, and if you do speak up and you advocate and you're doing it and you're doing it and you're not being heard, move on. Time to move on.
The other really good thing about speaking up and saying things is sometimes when you say things, they become more real. And then you make changes in your own life for education, for mentors that you seek, for learning that you undergo, for work that you choose that leads you towards that. So super, super important. Tamanda, same question. What do women need to hear more in this space?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with both Suzanne and Saidi, speaking up for yourself. But I think I would also maybe just challenge maybe women that are in decision-making kind of roles. When someone, younger girl, boy, comes to you and they're actually speaking up for themselves, you know, actually taking the time to listen, taking the time to actually help them pave the way, help them in any kind of way possible. Lifting the next person, being a mentor or an ally in any kind of way. I think that's also important because we always talk about leaning in and speaking out, but not every environment is conducive to that. So I think that's really, really important as well. Yeah, move on, but you're not so lucky to always be able to move jobs or make whatever changes that you need or require. So I would say for women in the industry, if you're in a leadership role, take the time to listen to whoever comes to you and help in any way possible.
Tamanda, that's such a great thing to say because there's sometimes people who have had to work so hard to get where they've gotten. They've burst through so many barriers and they're still in that mode, in that compete mode. And there's a time to turn that and say, hey, I'm here. That's wonderful. Let me help others. And sometimes that is so necessary for women in leadership, men in leadership all around. Matina, same question. What do women in the space need to hear more?
So if I could give one advice that I truly, truly believe it, it's you are not yourself alone. You are not isolated. You work in environments with other people. There are other people close to you that are able to support you, to help you. So when you're feeling stuck, it's not always that you have to, you know, think what you're doing wrong. You can find the right communities, the right mentors, the right people, the right work environment, the right employer. And the advice exactly is to move on. You can find the good people. The good people are out there, and do not feel that these things are happening only to you. This is why we have this event. We just learned from mentors, from role models that we have here, that all these weird things are happening to all levels. So you're not yourself alone. You have the power of communities. Use it. Find the right work environment, and eventually everything will work out.
Wonderful. And Matina speaks as somebody who works remotely in Athens, while the bulk of her team might be in London in the UK. So even though they're not there personally, you can reach out digitally in other ways like that. That's wonderful. Adrian, your thoughts. What do women in this space need to hear more?
Yeah, I would say just have confidence in your ability and that your opinions and perspectives have value. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to chime in. Give your perspective. I think if you work in a male-dominated society, you might feel like a little bit of an outsider, but that diversity is what makes organizations better and makes, you know, spurs creativity, and you do bring a lot of value. And I think the term imposter syndrome, like, just forget about that. Like, no one's an imposter. If you're in your role, you deserve to be there. So don't be afraid to get involved and speak up.
I once spoke on the bias that I have to yes. Which is that if something comes to me, I have a bias to yes. It's probably stupid in a lot of ways because a lot of people are very successful by saying no very frequently and very well. But there's something about saying yes to opportunity. And it's funny, I'm not sure who it was in a previous meeting was saying that many men will just say yes to something and like a new project or something like that and jump in and fail. But they have the confidence to go for it. But sometimes you have the confidence and you actually learn how to do it. And so that woman was saying more women need to be like that and just say yes and figure it out on the fly and good things can happen. Adrian, we're going to stick with you and we're going to still be talking to women. But one thing you'd like to tell women who are considering the growth space?
Yeah, I think to be successful in the growth space, you really have to commit and dive in deep. Like there's so much to it. You can go so deep into any like tiny topic. There's so much to learn and you can't really like be successful by skimming at the top. Like you need to know everything, understand how everything works together and plays its part. So if you really want to be in growth and succeed here, just eat up everything, you know, learn everything, make it kind of your whole world.
Wonderful. Matina, same question. Women who are considering the growth space, what should they know?
Totally agree with Adrienne. And I would add, you can upskill, you can innovate and always try to do research, try new things, learn a new concept. You will always in need of new things. I know we are in a space where it moves really, really fast. But indeed, at the same time, it is very exciting to learn this kind of new things. So definitely, I would say upskill. Definitely, I would say keep closer to technical concepts as well. I think right now with AI and machine learning, everyone talks about that. But stay close to that. Stay close to that because this is the future.
Wonderful. Tamanda, some woman comes to you and she's considering getting into growth. What does she need to know?
I think just how exciting, challenging, and fulfilling growth is. So I totally agree with Martina. But I think also I had a mentor earlier on in my career. Well, she didn't know, but she was like a mentor. who happened to be my boss, who was female, but she played such a significant role just watching her work as well. So sometimes you're working and you don't really know who you're inspiring. So always have that at the back of your mind. You don't know when the next opportunity is coming. So always give your best. So have a growth mindset as well. But yeah, that's always stuck with me as I was my mentor as well. So yeah.
Wonderful. And something for leaders to remember is that they're being watched. How they act and treat others and speak will be either a great thing in a mentorship role or not so great a thing. Saudi, your answer. A woman comes to you. I'm considering growth. What do you tell her?
I think I would tell her from like a skill set perspective to definitely develop data literacy. I've been in a lot of situations, especially for growth marketing, but I've been in a lot of situations where it's like someone's opinion versus another one's opinion. But if I come at that same conundrum or decision that needs to be made and I said, well, the data says, oh, you want to do that? I want to do this. Okay, let's A/B test it. And then data doesn't lie. Data is not an opinion. It's a fact. So just learn. And I don't come from a data background, like besides from a few statistics classes in college, I had to definitely learn from, online courses, people that were smart, asking a lot of questions. But data is a really great compass for both like your company strategy, their success, and also it's a great thing to put on your resume, right? Being data driven. It sounds played out, but like it's a necessity more and more, I think, moving forward.
Wonderful. Absolutely love that. And also love what you said, asking questions, asking lots of questions, being curious is a superpower. And a lot of people talked about learning and needing to learn. And one of the ways you do that is by asking questions. Susan, you're going to close us out. This is the last question. You're the last answerer for it. Somebody comes up to you and saying, hey, I'm considering the growth space. What do you tell her?
So I have a couple of things. I think
first one is really like, you know, it may all seem intimidating when you're looking at an outsider looking in, what can be perceived and also not really even perceived. We realized through our previous session that it is actually a male dominated industry that we play in. But there are actually some companies that actually do quite a good job of hiring women, recruiting them, promoting them. And so, you know, my recommendation here is do your research ahead of time. You know, it's not just taking their word for it, but talking on the inside to see if that culture is there and if it's something that you relate to. Second kind of point here is really related to one of the things that I think Matina had said earlier, is that this industry moves and evolves like no other. The kind of terminology, policy changes. I mean, you know, I head up our global partnerships team here at Singular, even just talking about the level of integrations that changes on a day-to-day basis. I mean, it's massive, right? It's very easy, again, to get overwhelmed here. And there are several online kind of Slack community groups that I can recommend that is a good starting point for you to kind of get familiar with. But even before going there, I would really recommend you to maybe pull aside a couple of potential mentors or folks that you know within the industry and really ask the questions of, hey, what are just some of the basic foundational learnings, vocabulary, and things that I need to do to get my feet wet before I dive into some of these growth community and forums. But I would say last but not least is something that I've just found tremendously helpful over my years in the industry, is that women in our industry really do empower and help each other out. This is not even a stereotype. I mean, some of my closest connections and network at the end of the day, when I need help in terms of getting in touch with certain partners or, you know, overhauling big projects and finding good talent, it really starts at some of the relationships that we've built over time in some of the organizations that are, you know, women-led. And there's ranges of this era, everything from, you know, international to regional women-led groups. But I really find that sometimes it's in the more intimate setting that you'll see these happy hours and just go to them. Make some friends. These will be your lifelong friends. And, you know, you'd be really surprised by what you can accomplish by just, you know, spending some time here. So that's kind of like the top three advice.
Absolutely love it. And I think with that, we'll call it. I want to thank everybody who's been here. I want to thank you for your time, for your preparation, for your willingness to be open for this, and for what you've shared. Tamanda, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Adrian, wonderful thoughts. Matina as well. Saudi, thank you again. And Susan, of course, really appreciate everybody who has just had something to say and said it so eloquently, so well. And I hope that many hear this and are helped by it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks.